This is Shaden Sharp. Hope you're enjoying the views here at Section 113 with Travis Demers.
All right, happy Saturday, everybody. Welcome into another edition of the Section 113 podcast as the Blazers are in Salt Lake City to finish up this road trip against the Utah Jazz. Travis Demers here with you. And for those of you just joining us or maybe hopping on for the first time, the reason we call this the Section 113 podcast, pretty simple to me. We do our home broadcasts from Section 113, Michael Holton, Mike Lynch, and myself. So this also reminds everybody where we're at in case you ever want to come say hello. So tonight, the Utah Jazz, after a big win last night, they blew out the Pacers by 20, second night of a back-to-back, but because they had such a comfortable lead and led pretty much throughout most of the game, their starters really didn't play a whole lot of minutes. And they're really not playing very many minutes as it is. I mean, they don't have anybody who's played a single night of 40 minutes this season. So it's not like they're going to be coming into this game tired. They played that game at home, no travel. So the Blazers are going to have to be at their best tonight. Josh Hart is doubtful, so don't know if he's going to make his return after that nasty ankle sprain a couple of games ago. Nasir Little is out. And then Damian Lillard's still out. Hopefully he returns on Sunday, as he talked about with Casey Holdall on his podcast, The Briefcase, said he feels really good. And hopefully we get some news pretty soon about Gary Payton II. Let's dive into this one tonight. All right, joining me now on the Section 113 podcast is the TV voice of your Portland Trailblazers, the one and only Kevin Calabro. Kevin, I think folks look at the 11-11 record right now after the way that things started, and people are wondering what's going on, why this is happening. But really, when you look at the details of it, it's not that hard to figure out why.
No, you and I were just talking off the air about Damian Lillard. Look, you've got a guy that's averaging 27 points, 7 assists. You know you're building around him. He's the core of what you're trying to do, what you're trying to accomplish from this point moving forward. And, you know, he's, including the two games in which he gets nicked up and he's hurt, you know, he's missed 13 of those, and the Blazers are 4-9 in those games. Now you ask yourself, well, can they win without him? Well, all right. Let's use the same hypothesis for other teams. Let's take Doncic out of the Dallas mix. Where are they right now? I mean, they're 3-8 on the road right now, Dallas. So I'm not sure they win those three without Doncic. Take LeBron James out of the mix with the Los Angeles Lakers. I think you get the same similar results. So for the Blazers to be 11-11 and playing one of the most road-heavy schedules in the NBA, 7-6 and winning in those games. I was taking a look at some other teams and how they are faring in the West on the road. How about Golden State 2-10? Phoenix right now 3-5. Heck, Utah is 6-8, and they've played probably more road games than anybody else in the West. So a 7-6 road mark, pretty good for the Blazers coming in tonight against the Utah Jazz, who are just absolutely on a roll, put 139 on the Pacers last night. And, of course, the Blazers get the Pacers tomorrow back in Portland. So I guess the point of all that is, Trav, is just weather the storm. Presumably you get Dame back sooner rather than later. Chris Haynes, of course, reported on TNT a few nights ago, as all the fans know, that Dame was targeting Sunday's game against Indiana as the return. So I think once you get Damian Lillard back, you get some of these other injuries past you. The injury to Nasir Little obviously hurts. It shortens your bench. But you've got another kid there that I'm really anxious to see play, and that is Jabari Walker. It means more minutes, of course, to Shaden Sharp as well, who I think has come through a trough and starting to ascend a little bit to where we all thought he might be.
Defensively, the first 12 games of the season, they were a top 10 defense. The last 10, 29th in the NBA. There are a lot of factors that play into that, and I think a lot of missed open threes from other teams early in the season might have contributed to that top 10 ranking. What have you seen defensively lately?
Well, I think, too, they're 24th overall now for the year, defensive rating, quarter basketball reference, coming into the game tonight. Which obviously is better than it was last year. You know, even when they had their guys together early in the season last year with Rocco and with Norman Powell around. I think what's happening is teams are scouting this Blazer ball club. They're figuring out the zone. They're figuring out some of the looks. Chauncey mixing up as best he can, but I think that's the nature of it. I think the good news defensively is that you have two extraordinary defensive players, obviously, in Jeremy Grant and in Josh Hart. they bring such a mentality and such a toughness and tenacity to that defense that I don't think it can be underscored. And certainly, I don't know how you quantify that or put it down in numbers, but it's great to have a guy at 6'8 and a half, 6'9 out there with that length that Grant has to be able to defend point guards. He can play fours, he can play threes. The guy's just done a terrific job. And I think the other point is, yeah, you're playing with two smallish starting guards who are not known as guys with defensive mentalities, but I think they're really giving you an effort, a strong effort toward it. So I think once the Blazers are reconstituted, I believe they will be a better defensive basketball team.
Yeah, you talk about them being reconstituted. Dame, like you mentioned, may come back Sunday. Josh Hart is doubtful for tonight. GP2, we don't know when he's going to come back, hopefully sometime in December. Is it hard to really get a read on what this team is and what they need to do at the trade deadline, because we just haven't seen them at full strength basically at all?
Yeah, you know, and that's the other thing that I've failed to recognize, and you just point out, Gary Payton II is another, that third of those triumvirate that bring that real tough defensive mentality to the floor, and the flexibility, switchability as well. I mean, that gives you just a real solid lineup to come at people with. So, you know, Chauncey and his staff, and Roy Rogers, the defensive coach, they've not had all their weapons at their disposal. Once they do, then, yeah, I think we get a really good look at it. And, you know, as you and I were talking off microphone, this month of December is still going to be difficult with 5 home and 8 road, including tonight's game against Utah. But January really opens up with 11 home and 4 road. And that's where you get the crowd behind you, and you become, I think, a better defensive team as well.
We've seen a number of times already this season where the Blazers have had to come back from big deficits. And early in the season, they did a couple of times. They won some of those games. They lost, like, to Memphis and things like that. But in Brooklyn, they ran out of gas. In Milwaukee, you know, they ran out of gas. I mean, I guess you could say that, too, the other night against the Lakers, running out of gas. How much of that is, do you think, this brutal schedule the last couple of weeks, the fact that Anfernee Simons is playing around 40 minutes, and, you know, the fact that this is, it's just a tough stretch?
Well, Ant had played, what was it, 43 minutes against the Clippers and had any number of double teams and blitzes and, yeah. Nicholas Batum hanging on him. I think Batum probably followed him home as well. I mean, he just did a terrific job. You know, hats off to a veteran Clipper ball club that came on strong in the fourth quarter. And, of course, Norman Powell was not to be denied, went to his right hand. Blazers didn't take it away. Scores 22 in the fourth quarter. So, you know, tough loss at home. I get it. But those do happen. Then Simons plays 39 minutes the next night against the Los Angeles Lakers. So, he's something like 7th or 8th, I believe that was as of the Laker game, in minutes played per ball game. It's a lot of wear and tear on Ant, and he's having to make a lot of decisions, obviously, in those 13 games, as we talked about, without Damian Lillard. So I think certainly fatigue has something to do with it. There was one other injury I thought that has hurt the Blazers from the standpoint of just buying a minute or two here or there, and that's Keon Johnson, who could come on. He's a versatile guard. He could play a little bit of point, play a little bit of two. He could help you out there, but he hasn't played since November the 5th. So once you get these guys back together, and it will happen, yeah, I think now you've got more buttons to push if you're the head coach.
With Utah tonight, they've been in the opposite direction with health. Aside from Mike Conley, most of their key players have played in all 25 games for them this season, and they've been a bit of a surprise. Back-to-back, but they didn't play a whole lot of minutes because of that blowout that you mentioned last night. What have you seen from Utah?
Well, Lauri Markkanen is an all-star. Lauri Markkanen was in that trade, obviously, for Donovan Mitchell. Colin Sexton coming on board as well. Sexton played well last night. He stepped in for Conley at point. But Lauri Markkanen, I mean, is a bona fide 29-20-10 guy right now. He's an all-star. He's just phenomenal. He's shooting threes, puts it on the deck. He defends well his position. They, I think, hit in the draft with Walker Kessler. Or is it Kessler Walker, the man with two first names? He's done a terrific job, 7 for 7 last night. So they've got a quality backup big man now. They have Malik Beasley come on off the bench. He had 29 against the Blazers the last time the clubs met. They can open things up from three with Beasley coming off. Clarkson's always been, to me, a terrific Swiss Army knife type of guard, starting in his days with the Lakers. He could play point. He plays two. He shoots the three well. He's fearless now. He's got the seasoning of a veteran. So it's, to me, it's a surprising team, obviously, because everybody thought by this point Danny Ainge would be wheeling and dealing. I mean, heck, they've got Jared Vanderbilt in there, too, who's very valuable big man up front, just a hammer. Chris Finch told me about before a game last year when I asked him about Vanderbilt, he said, you know, he's essentially the soul of our team. And you can see Minnesota's struggling, I think, without him. And so you add an element like that to this Utah team. All I can say is the analytics guys really screwed this one up because none of them pegged this. None of them pegged Markkanen being the quality that he is, nor did they peg Utah being as tough as they are. Now, are they going to go away? I don't know. I mean, again, I go back to that road record, 6-8. They've got one of the toughest SRSs, which is some equation that figures point differential with strength of schedule. They're seventh in the league in that category. So they've played a tough schedule. They've played a lot of road games. And like you say, they've dodged the injury bug. I really thought, though, that an injury to Conley would sink them, but it hasn't. Sexton's done a nice job, and they've shared the ball. And they've got a team with guys that can make plays for other people as well.
The Western Conference until maybe 4 or 5 days ago was all jumbled up, right? I think 2 or 3 games separated 1 from 8 or 9 in the Western Conference. Now you're starting to see Phoenix separate a little bit. You're starting to see Denver separate a little bit. But a number of teams who you expected to still haven't done that. After last night, the Warriors, a game over 500. I don't know what you thought from the Lakers, but they're still under 500. Dallas has struggled. So while we're sitting here 22 games into the season for the Blazers, there's still a lot of basketball left to be played and a lot of things still to be figured out.
Yeah, Minnesota has not played as well as people thought. You know, who knew that Patrick Beverley's exit might hurt them, and this big trade is not quite panned out, and they're going to be without Karl Anthony Towns for the next month or so. So I think that's one other team that was going to be a major player that's really struggling right now. It's yet to be seen. Like you say, there's going to be some separation there. Golden State's just not been able to get it done on the road. They had that disastrous trip here recently, and they're 2-10 on the road, but they've only lost one game at home. You know they're going to be better. You know the Clippers at some point are just hanging there. They're going to roll out their big cannon. You know Kawhi Leonard. Once the birds start chirping and the flowers start blooming, Kawhi Leonard will be back. and things then suddenly will change, I think, again in the Western Conference. So it kind of goes in those four segments. I mean, we're through the quarter post now of the season. The Blazers are 11-11. I think you would have taken that, Trav. I think you and I both would have taken that at the beginning of the year. You said, hey, we'll give you a 500 or maybe a plus one or two at the quarter post of this race. I think you take that. So, yeah, there's a lot of basketball to be played and a lot more twists and turns.
Before I let you go, I want to peel the curtain back for listeners because the way that you and Lamar work together, it's phenomenal. I don't get to listen as often as I want to, obviously, because I'm calling the game myself, but I listen to a lot of the replays and watch a lot of the replays. And you guys have together really endeared yourselves to Portland. Just tell me about the working relationship that you guys have to put out the product that you do.
Well, he works so extremely hard at his craft, and so I just feel like it's incumbent upon me to do the same and try to, match his energy. That's always, to me, is what I bring to the broadcast is energy, constant energy, and try to bring that and just likability on the air and just be a regular fan watching the game. That's my function. And then his function is to be the X's and O's guy who can break it down for you, get in depth on those plays. What are the players thinking? What are they feeling? Why did he do this? Why didn't he do that type of thing? I'm the guy that asks the question like the fans do when they kick back in the seat. Well, what's he doing there? Why did he do that? You know, how's come we can't do this? And Lamar will very reasonably explain that to me, and then we will move on. I think that's what the fans enjoy most about the broadcast is kind of the back and forth. And he'll ask me a question about, why do you think that? You know, why'd you say that? And I really enjoy that too because that keeps you on your toes. We just generally have fun and just enjoy watching these guys achieve, what they have set out to do. And that is, march toward greatness and try to win a championship. You get a lot of scam call and spam calls. I get them usually about this time of day, Trev. Pardon me.
Yeah, usually on Saturday and Sunday mornings trying to sell me some kind of football betting pick.
Tupperware.
He is Kevin Calabro. He is the TV voice of your Portland Trailblazers. One of the best there's ever been. Appreciate the time, Kev. Have a good call tonight.
Okay, Trev. You too, pal. Take care.
All right, big thanks to Kevin Calabro, who's been doing this a long time, and Blazer fans are very, very lucky to have Kevin and Lamar on the TV call. Those guys are incredible, and they're two of the most humble, genuine people that you would ever meet. So we are very, very lucky, and I'm lucky that I get to pick the brain of KC pretty much every time that we're on the road and enjoying those conversations with him. All right, thanks so much for joining us here in the Section 113 podcast. Tonight, 6 o'clock tip-off on 620 Rip City Radio, our flagship station, and the Trailblazers Radio Network. Michael Holton and I will have the call. Mike Lynch will have the pregame show for you at 5 o'clock. And then right back to Portland, right back at it tomorrow night against the Indiana Pacers. Thanks so much. We'll see you next time on the Section 113 podcast.